Right. Today, what I'm going to present is the results from a multimodal wheat intercomparison, and also some results about the sensitivity and patterns to temperature and CO2. With a long list of crop modelers, we have crop modelers from all over the world, all wheat modelers. So we have 26 wheat models here, and we are up to 30 in the second step. This presentation is as an introduction, a bit of a rationale. We'll show the methodology, and then the results of the observed and simulated data, the results of the sensitivity analysis, and also the results about the sources of model uncertainty, and draw some conclusion from this study. So the main challenge ahead is that the projection in terms of population growth, urbanization and industrialization means that there is need to produce more food with less water and possibly less land, and therefore it is important to quantify the effective use of water in order to assure future crop productivity. Because we talk about future and to predict what's happening in the future in terms of relationship between soil, plant and atmosphere, we use crop simulation models, taking into account those crop simulation models, taking into account multiple interaction between climate, crop, soil and crop and management. However, most of the crop models in the past were developed and then applied in specific region and specific crop system to answer truly specific questions. And therefore, in the experience we saw that when some of these models were taken out of this specific region, could perform poorly in wide range of environment for several reasons. But overall, I would say there is not a perfect model, or every model has a weakness and a strength, perform better or poorly, but it is important to quantify across many models the uncertainty in simulating the water use under future and under future condition, present and future condition. And therefore, the objectives of this study were to estimate the water use pattern of a given wheat cultivar under current climate, the sensitivity analysis with elevated temperature and CO2 concentration within this large ensemble of crop models, of wheat crop models, and quantify the variability of crop simulation models' response to increase in temperature and CO2, and explore which component between the simulated transpiration, soil evaporation, and potential evapotranspiration is responsible for the variability in simulated water use. This study draws from a previous study published in 2013. The study from Assange et al. Focused on the wheat grain yield, but we used a different data set for this study. We had 26 wheat models that were parameterized in four contrasting environments in terms of temperature, precipitation, and also different wheat, with spring wheat and winter wheats. We gave modelers standardized protocol for evaluation and calibration. And for the sensitivity analysis, we just added 6 degrees on the baseline data from which was 1980 to 2010. And also with the sensitivity to CO2, it was 5 CO2 level from 360 to 720 ppm. And we also had an interaction between those two. So with another sensitivity analysis where we ran the two temperature against the with 5 CO2 increments. The partitioning of the uncertainty, as I said before, of the simulated water use was made to explore which component is responsible for most of the variability. Because we used the simulated potentiality, simulated transpiration and soil evaporation, the equation was written in this way, the relationship, and we calculated the variances and the first order sensitivity coefficients, which I will show at the end in my conclusion part. These were the 26 wheat models that took part into this intercomparison and which potential evapotranspiration equation they used for our simulations. We asked the modelers to use only one and to report to us which equation they used. This figure shows the results of the daily for the single year, the daily observation and simulation for the Netherlands, for the first environment. So the each graph from A to H growing season rainfall, plant available water content, daily potentiality, LFR index, soil evaporation, plant transpiration, water use, and above ground biomass. The motors are represented by the gray area, and it's 20 percentile and 80 percentile, and the black line is the median of the 26 model, and the dots are the observation where available. We didn't have the observation, for example, in the Netherlands for water use, but we had LAI, plant available water content, and biomass. So we can see in this environment how the model performed relatively well in terms of simulating plant available water content, LAI, and biomass. So overall, I would say there is a skill in this case. The skill model were skillful, we could pick up the patterns of these three parameters where we had observation. There wasn't a huge amount of variability in this environment. In the next environment, we see again the model had, this is Argentina, and the model had the same to me, the skill of picking up pattern of plant available water content, LAI, and biomass. Maybe not as precise as it was in the Netherlands, but there is still that, for example, in terms of biomass, of picking up the increase in biomass through time. In India, it was a bit more challenging as an environment. It was only irrigation, so there were five irrigation in the growing season. We had, in this case, measured the water use as well. We can see again that probably modeled the median of the model in terms of simulated water use versus observed is a bit low, but the trend, it picks up the trend, and here if I would have plotted the single lines, it wasn't like what Ken showed before, the model were going all over the places. Actually, they were all showing a sort of increase of water use or biomass, and there was a bit more variability in terms of LAI, again, but I wasn't observing what was observed for maize. And in Australia, where we had more data points, we can see how the model picked again the trend in terms of increasing water use, biomass, and a decrease in plant available water. Another thing we wanted to understand, if we had the 1 year of data where the model were calibrated, and this box shows, this bar plot showed 1 year data and the variability across the 26 model versus the baseline run. So this is the 26 model run over 30 years. So we can see how, because the point was like we used only 1 year, but we ran over a baseline. And in an environment like Australia, for example, which is a rain-fed environment, and depending heavily on the growing season rainfall, there could have been a huge variability between our 1 year data versus the 30-year baseline. But overall, we can see that the 1 year that we had where the model were evaluated wasn't in within the line of the baseline weather variability, so the response wasn't too bad. And now I wanted to make a sort of small digression with two slides after the talk that was yesterday in terms of the AgMIP ET meeting. Because another thing I looked, which it wasn't original in this presentation, is we looked at the dynamic within the growing season as well. So, for example, this is in Australia, and this graph represents the deviation from the observed ET. On the top, the number represents the cumulative ET values of the growing season, at the bottom, the wheat growth stages, and the box plot represents 25 and 5 and 95 percentile of the model. The black line with diamond is the average, and the median is the thin line. So we can see that during the growing season, the deviation from the observed ET and the variability across model, it's more and tends to increase. And then at the end of the season, it's kind of, it never will decrease, but it becomes sort of positive. And when we look at this, I also dissected this, and I can see the variability of LAI. Again, this is Australia. The variability of LAI at different growth stages. For models, they use Pemamon T, Priestley Taylor, or Peman as a potential ET. And so there is this huge variability that increase around flowering and then decrease again. So around flowering, there is something that happened within the 26 crop model, regardless of the potential ET equation they use, where the variability in simulated LAI is quite high. So it was important for me to focus on the data collected, the cumulative data at the end of the season, but it's somehow important to look at the dynamics within the growing season as well, how the model does things. I will now return back to the original talk and talk about the sensitivity to temperature. So the figures from A to F represent the simulated water use, the yield, transpiration, soil evaporation, water use efficiency, and transpiration efficiency for the four locations at plus 3 degree and plus 6 degree. And the numbers in percentage here represent the percentage of the model that agree on a given pattern. For example, in the water use here, 91% of the model agree that there is a decrease up to 10% across the four locations in terms of water use. So the main message of this figure are two. One, that there is a decrease in water use and yield and water use efficiency and transpiration efficiency at increasing temperature, but also that more than 90% of the model agree in this trend, whereas in terms of yield it's less, only 78% at plus 3, and they agree a bit more at plus 6 in terms of reduction of yield. And also in terms of simulated transpiration, only 73% of the model agree in this slight decrease in simulated plant transpiration, whereas 83% of the model agree in simulated in decreases of simulated plant transpiration. But when we look into the sensitivity to CO2 concentration, on average 69% of the model agree that there are little changes in terms of simulated water use, but almost 97% of the model agree in the increase of water use at CO2, at an increase of CO2 level. And the agreement for simulated transpiration is even lower, about 44 to 56% agreed that there is little changes in terms of transpiration efficiency at CO2 level. When we run the sensitivity with the interaction between CO2 and temperature, we got this result of across the four locations. So each row is a location for water use, yield, transpiration, water use efficiency, and transpiration efficiency. So overall, as a message, is that the increase in CO2 offsets the negative increase in temperature, which is location dependent, obviously. And like, for example, therefore in Australia versus the Netherlands, there is a different effect of CO2 as a temperature increase. And water use and transpiration efficiency showed most of the positive changes compared, for example, to yield as a beneficial effect of CO2 increase. Now, one thing also I did is to look at the models that use the three different potential heat equations. So the white bar is the models that use Pema-Monti equation. The dotted bar are the models that use the Priestley-Taylor equation. And the diagonal bar, the model they use Pema equation. So there is a statistically significant difference in terms of simulated potential heat amongst these three different groups of models within each location, and also we can see also between the locations. So there is a difference in, with the Pema-Monti always being the equation that simulated the highest potential T. However, when we partition that variability amongst the three different components, I found that either for 1 year or for the 30 years, the simulated plant respiration is the component that carried most of the variability, so at about 40 to 50% across 1 year, or the 30-year baseline, but also across the two different temperature sensitivity, or the four different CO2 concentration. And therefore, in conclusion, the crop simulation model showed good skill in simulating pattern of water use. The majority of crop models had the same direction of changes in yield, water use, and water use efficiency in the sensitivity to temperature and CO2. The interaction between increasing CO2 and temperature showed that, depending on the location, yield, water use efficiency, and transpiration efficiency reduction can be offset by increasing CO2 concentration. And then the largest uncertainty in simulated crop water use is due to the model, to how the model simulates crop transpiration. So, with this, I thank you for the attention.